Keisha Williams, what a blessing. Well, there's something wonderful in the air around here this morning. It's always a blessing to connect with each of you around the table of the Lord. It means so much. And that's the highlight of our service in just a few minutes. And it's always appropriate just before we partake of the Lord's Supper together to celebrate the body of Christ. His body was broken for us. And each and every one of us who have expressed faith in Jesus as our Lord, we have a place at the table. We are a member of the body of Christ. And today I want to talk for just a few minutes on this important truth. Every member matters. So many times we stumble through life. If not our entire lifetime, we stumble through a day or a week or a month or a year at a time without really being aware of how much our life matters. And you matter. You're a member of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this." Verse 7, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." I want to read that one again. In fact, would you read that out loud with me, real loud? "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." Verse 11, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." But rest assured, if you're a member of the body, you have value and you have a gift. And each of us need one another. And the reason God has given each of us a gift, different gifts, is so that we can be a blessing and help one another. It's the beauty of the body of Christ, the value of every single member. The Bible says God has carefully placed each part of the body right where He wanted it. And the Bible says God has given each member the ability to do certain things well. We want to highlight that. Make it personal. Individualize this truth for your own life today. God has given you the ability to do certain things well. And He's carefully placed each part of the body right where He wanted them. I am right where God wants me to be. You are right where God wants you to be. Now, it's fluid and we move around, but at any moment in time, we are serving God's purpose, and He has us where we are with great purpose on each of our lives. There are 300,000 churches in America, and you're in this one. Now, God had to bring some of you from Iowa through Nevada, back through Utah, Arizona, up to New York, and you wound up in Florence, right here. Out of 300,000 churches, at least for this moment, embrace the fact that God must be pleased to have you here today, to have you placed where you are today in the body. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." The whole body, the whole church, healthy and growing and full of what?
Love.
There's been a time or two I've been accused of being full of something else. Don't you push me. But full of love. Can't think of anything I'd rather be fuller of than love. God has designed us to function that way. Now, it says, each of us doing our own special work so that the whole body, the body as a whole, can grow. The Message translation, I like the way it says it. No prolonged infancies among us, please. No prolonged infancies. Perpetual immaturity. Now, none of us have arrived and none of us are fully matured and developed to our greatest potential yet. We're on a journey, but no prolonged infancies among us, please. That's the will of God for the body. And when every single member does its part, its own special function, it causes the body to be healthy. Look around. This is a healthy and growing body full of what?
Love.
I like it. The whole body, the Bible says, is joined and knit together. Joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. There are only two locations. Now, we have some realtors in the church. Several, I believe. I won't call names, but if you want to buy or sell a house, connect with one of our realtors. They'll work hard to get you what you want. But realtors say there are three important things when you're looking for property. Location, and what's the third one? Location. Location is important. Where you are placed and connected in the body is important. But when it comes to being valuable members in the body, there are only two locations, just two options. The first option is that you are perfectly placed. And the only other option is that you are displaced. You are out of place. You are not connected. Now, I'm going to tell a true story. It happened about 6 months ago. It's a true story, and I won't call names, but I will tell you it was some of Brenda's relatives. It's the truth. This is a true story.
I don't blame them.
It's about your daddy. You better be claiming your daddy. I'll tell you who it was then. It was her daddy. Yeah. Now, her father, 85, doesn't drive anymore and lives alone and tries to be independent. But he wanted a riding lawnmower about 6 months ago. And so he, of course, can't drive. But he asked his neighbor across the street, who has a truck, a pickup truck, a big pickup truck with a trailer, if he would bring Brenda's dad to Florence. It's an hour's drive one way from where he lives, to buy a rod, and he did. So on the way back from Florence, where he bought the riding lawnmower, to Hemingway, where he lives, the trailer came off the back of the truck, and the $2,500 brand new John Deere riding lawnmower was totally destroyed. There was a van following the truck and trailer with the lawnmower. The van was destroyed. The trailer was destroyed. The lawnmower, the van, the trailer, it was all destroyed. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. But it was a major accident that brought a lot of destruction. And do you know what the problem was? Here's that big two-ton truck and that massive trailer and that John Deere riding mower strapped on the back of it. The problem was something no bigger than this. Just a bolt. It was just a bolt. Something that you'd look at that big, massive truck. That big, massive truck. And then that huge trailer and that gorgeous truck. None of that was a problem. The only problem was something this little. Now, this might be little, and you might overlook it, and you might never give it a second thought. You can look at this, and your first thought could be, well, that can't be very important. It caused a lot of trouble. Now, because it wasn't securely in position. Now, it was attached. Some members are just attached. Are you going to pull it out of me today? Like a hangnail, just attached. Oh, it's attached, but it's not securely connected. And every member has value, but the full potential of each of our value is when we're securely connected, joined and knit together. I was sitting around the house yesterday. Tiffany was on her digital and said, I have been waiting for months to read a book. I wanted to read this book. I can't get it. I even joined the library. She told me months ago, I'm going to join the library. I'm going to get me a library card. And I wondered, who does that anymore? I mean, get a library card so you can go check out a book. But she, and I found out yesterday, she wants to read this one particular book. And she called the name of it. And she said, there is 37 people on a waiting list at the Florence Library for the book. So everybody gets it and bring, when they check it, there are 37 people in line before Tiffany. I said, well, why don't you buy it on Kindle, download the e-book? She said, it's not available that way. And she said, I said, why don't you buy it on eBay or Amazon? She said, one person has it for sale for $800 on eBay. A book. Just a book. And I said, well, my God, what's the name of that book? And she told me the name of the book. And I said, I ain't never read that book, but I think that book's been on my bookshelf at the office for 15 years. And she said, are you sure? I said, no, I'm not sure. But seems like I've seen that book on my bookshelf for years. I mean, I may be wrong, I'm not so sure. I said, you think I could get $800 if I had? So anyway, later in the day, yesterday afternoon, I had to come over to the office for a few minutes, and I thought, well, I'm going to check and see if I... And I looked through my books, and lo and behold, sure enough, that very book that she has been waiting for months and years, this is in mint condition. I mean... I'm gonna start out at 1,200 maybe. Look at that. Not a page. So I carried it back to the house and I gave it to Tiffany and I said, you can read it, but don't you bend the corner of any page. And after you read it, put it on eBay and see what we can get for it. I don't know if I should tell you the title of the book or not. It was written in 1992, published, and it's called Final Truth, The Autobiography of Pee Wee Gaskins. Now, I know you ain't interested. I'm going to put this right here. Now, y'all don't bother that right there, okay? But my point is this. The maker made this in 1992, and one of it found its way to my bookshelf, and it has been unappreciated. I have not been aware of its value. It's been dormant, and it's been sitting on a shelf for many, many years until suddenly, on one day, I realize I possess something that may have great value. It's been on the shelf, but I'm going to go get that thing off the shelf and do something with it. That's the way God is with some of us right now. We've been on a shelf, but He has such value invested in us, and He's going to the bookshelf this morning and finding many of the members with such hidden value, and He's going to start using you. in a higher way. Every member has value. Every single member has. Now listen to this. If you miss everything else this morning, hear this. Every single member has value. But when that single member is connected to one other member, the effectiveness of that member goes up 10 times. You know about that, right? Some of you who have been in the Word all your life, you know that one of us can chase 1,000 enemies, but two of us can chase 10,000. So every member has value by itself, but when that one valuable member connects to one other member, it increases 10 times. That's exponential. That is, if we're securely connected to the body, connected to at least one other member in the body. I've read this before. I'll read it again. A right-handed man broke his left arm. And one night when he couldn't sleep, he imagined a conversation that might go on between his right hand and his left hand. The right hand said, "Left hand, you're not missed. You're not that important. Everybody is so glad that it was the left hand he broke and not the right hand." And the left hand said to the right hand, "What makes you think you're so superior?" And the right hand said, "My owner cannot write a letter without me." And the left hand said, "But who holds the paper on which he writes?" The right hand said, "When he goes to build anything, who swings the hammer?" And the left hand said, "Who holds the nail?" The right hand said, "Who guides the plane when the carpenter wants to smooth the rough board?" And the left hand said, "Who steadies the board?" The right hand said, "When our owner walks down the street, which hand does he lift when he wants to wave and greet someone?" And the left hand said, "But who's holding his briefcase while he's waving?" So, whether you're a right hand or a left hand, our function may be different, but we are equal in value. And when we are properly placed in the body as it pleases God to place us there, and when we're securely connected, not just attached and hanging on, but securely connected to our place in the body, then we have such great value. Every member matters. Many people, even Christian people, say, "I don't really know if my life matters." You know, God has a purpose in every day of our life, whether we're aware of it or not. He accomplishes something through us according to His purpose. Many times we're not aware of it. And some people, I believe, are born and live an entire lifetime to do one thing. And that's okay if that's the purpose of God. There's a famous man now. He was in obscurity and undiscovered for centuries, it seemed. But he's in the Old Testament, and he's only known this many thousands of years later. Now, we're celebrating the history of his life, but he's only known for doing one thing. His name was Jabez, and he was unimportant and insignificant and did nothing that we know of in his entire lifetime but pray one prayer that had about 25 words in it. But that one, if he did nothing else with his entire life but pray that one prayer, it affected his descendants for generations. And even here we are, thousands of years later, honoring the life of that man. And the purpose of God for him may have been to only do one thing. I believe the purpose of God for some people is just to reach one person. And then God will take that one person and reach a nation. We each have a valuable part to play. It's important while we're at the table of the Lord today to audit our lives and take inventory and be sure we are properly placed and securely connected in the body, because the gift each of us has belongs to the body at large. There's the power of one thing. Some of you have the purpose of God resting on your life to do one thing: raise a child, or raise a grandchild, or adopt an orphan. Just one thing in your life. One thing in your life. The power of one thing. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 40, it says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. And you know the Greek, solid as a rock. So here is the story of Andrew. Now, he did some other stuff too, but he's famous for one thing. He did one huge thing in his life. Andrew, when he heard the gospel, went and brought his brother to Jesus. And then the rest is history. His brother was Simon Peter. Now, if Andrew had done nothing else his entire life but go bring Simon Peter to the Lord Jesus, that would have been a life's work right there. It means so much even to us today. Andrew didn't write any books in the New Testament, but his brother that he brought to the Lord did, and we still read them as Holy Scripture today. Just one thing he accomplished in his life, if no more, and that was a great thing. Now, it's also interesting to note that Jesus looked at Simon and said two things. Jesus looks at each of us and says two things. Jesus looked at Simon and said, "Simon, you are." But, he said the second thing, "you will be." And when Jesus looks at each of us, he sees two things and he says two things. Jesus looks at us and he says, "You are." But he also sees what we will become, the value in us. When he gets us off the shelf and puts us back into circulation and maximizes the value each of us has, he says, "Oh, I see you in your present condition, but I also see what you will be. Simon, this is what you are, but this is what you will become." God knows the value in each of us, even when we don't know it. And don't ever look at anyone and assume they are limited in their potential to do great things. Remember this little bolt here that caused a huge, because it wasn't securely in place? Don't look at this little bolt and say, "Oh, that's not even important." Very important. The people in the Old Testament chose Saul to be their king. But God said, "I have rejected Saul, and I have chosen David." Remember the story a couple of weeks ago? I was talking about finding favor in the field. Before you get to the platform, David was years tending sheep in the pasture, way out on the edge of his father's property. He had seven older brothers, and each one of them looked more like a king than David did. David was a little shepherd boy out in the field, but the favor of God found that boy out in that field. And even though others would look at those eight sons of Jesse, and others would judge them by their outward appearance, other people could look at the oldest son and say, oh, that's the king right there. He looks like Israel's king. God said, no, I didn't choose him. God said, don't judge somebody by what they look like on the outside. God says, I look straight inside. I look at the heart, and I find the value of a person as a heart issue. And so you know the story, one right after the other. All seven of Jesse's oldest sons were rejected, even though they looked the part. Then the prophet said to Jesse, do you have any more sons? He said, well, yeah, I got a little boy out in the field over yonder tending to my sheep. But surely, if you're going to turn down all of these military warriors, my grown sons, then David, you're not going to be interested in him. He said, go get him. Bring him here. The people looked at Saul and said, we'll take him for our king. God rejected him, said, you've chosen one person. God said, I've chosen somebody else. Nobody saw the value in David. Everybody looked at David and saw nothing but a shepherd boy except God. God looked at David and saw a king. Jesus looked at Simon and said, you are, but you will be. He says that to us today. He says it to you. He sees where you are. He knows where you are presently. The shape you're in, the mess you're in perhaps, the condition you're in, the shelf you've been hiding on. But he says, I see you, you are, but you're about to become this. Somebody said it over there. Who was it? Amen. Somebody say amen. Did I hear an amen from over there in the corner? Okay. Don't push it. I am this close to start having fun the wrong way. This close. Every member matters. God has a place for everybody. No matter how insignificant you think you are, or others may look at you and decide you might be. No, every member matters. The first time I went to Latvia, God had a young man named Andis there that spoke English. He was the only contact I made in Liepāja the first trip I was there. He spoke English. And if it had not been for Andis, God having Andis where he was, our family couldn't have gone over and lived here and started a church. God had a young lady named Inga that was just waiting to be taken off the shelf and put in circulation in the service of God. Inga Karnashowska. She spoke English fluently and Russian and Latvian. She was our translator for a year for services. She gave a year of her life to move to Liepāja and to serve God in that special way. God had a young man in place, a young pastor that was trained and ready to pastor. Even though he had grown up in the underground Christian church in Latvia, his name is Vilnis Smagis. God had him in place. I remember the first trip I went, I met Vilnis. I didn't know about the value in him. I mean, somebody else was more valuable, it seemed like to me. But then, look what God did. God reached back on the shelf and said, Vilnis Smagis, you are, but you will be. And now, for 24 years, he's been the pastor of that great church, been faithful to God and to the people. We first move over there, and 2 weeks to find an apartment we could live in for a year. We rented that apartment. It had no phone. My translator, Andis, took me to the phone company, and I went through the process and got finally to the window. And the lady who was the director of the phone company over there. And she was mean. She was a bulldog. She was just not nice at all. And she spoke Latvian and Russian. And yeah. And, you know, I'm telling her, just moved to this apartment, this address, and we need to get a phone hooked up. And in her bad mood, She said, it'll be 3 months before we can get a phone hooked up in that apartment. That next Sunday, she came to our church service, got saved. Her name was Lydia, L-I-D-I-J-A in Latvian. Lydia, that grump of a grouch. Walked in to our church service. At the end of the service, came forward at the invitation, got saved, and came up to me after church and told me through our translator, you will have a telephone in your apartment tomorrow. Now, don't you look at somebody and dismiss them and think, well, there ain't no use for them ever. Honey, God looked at Lydia and said, Lydia, you are, but you shall be. God had a woman named Lydia right where Lydia needed to be at the right time. Now, she was in a mood, but God worked through it. A little boy, 40 plus years ago, a little boy growing up in the dusty roads and back fields of a little community not that far from here called Oates. I mean, it's not Florence. It's not Darlington. It's not even Lamar. You go all the way there, and then you get off the main road, and you wiggle your way around to a community called Oates. Who would have ever thought that one of the world's great missionaries, Brian Hudson, was being groomed? God looked over at Brian and said, Brian Hudson, you are. I see what you are, but I also see what you will be. Who would have ever thought that that county that's infamous in South Carolina, Lee County, that includes Bishopville. It's the one right next to us, but I mean, Lizard Man lives there. Remember that? It's been a shameful speculation on the map for generations. Who would have thought that God would have looked down over there in Lee County and see a little boy and say, well, Lawrence Tuning, I see you. I see you, but I see what you will be. And Lawrence, coming from that place down the road, would be used by God to write one song that would change the world. Our little Bongo, I shouldn't say little, he's a grown man, he's going to whip me. Our Bongo player, Rome Spencer Jr. Now, I don't want to upset Daddy for sure, because his daddy can whip me now. Rome Jr. Rome, where are you? Are you in the room? Stand up, Rome. Let everybody get a look at you. There's Rome. Don't you appreciate the way he plays our bongos on Sunday morning? Well, a couple of months ago on a Sunday morning, right over in here, the sound check rehearsal was over. The praise team and praise singers and musicians had just prayed in their huddle and had broken out. They do all that before some of you get here. And Rome walked by. And we got to talk and said, Rome, what do you want to do with your life? He said, well, I want to be an actor. He was serious when he said it. And I said, really? He said, yeah, I want to do that with my life. And I said, well, I didn't know that was a part of your dream and your vision. And, you know, God could do that with you. Hey, I've seen God do so much. Nothing is impossible. I've decided nothing is impossible. He's already done so much. He's done so many impossible things already. There is no such thing as impossible. I mean, and I said, well, Rome, that is a wonderful thing for God to do with you in your life. I said, do you know we have a young boy that grew up in our church? He's a Hollywood actor right now. And he had heard me mention. I said, you ever met Jason Wesley? He said, no, I have not met him. I said, well, you know, he grew up in our church. His mother is still in our church. I don't know if she's here. Linda Strauss, are you here today? Linda? We're going to have to find out where Linda is today. She was here Wednesday night. But Linda is Jason's mother. And she lives here in Florence. And Jason loves his mama. He's about 35 now. But he honors and loves his mother and still comes back to Florence a time or two every year just to be with his mom. And every time he does, he comes over to our house and sits. And he used to stay at my house, he and our older daughter, Brandy. Well, you know. He said, yeah, Ruthie. He stayed at Ruthie. He said, he either lived with me or Ruthie. I mean, all the time. Well, nobody would have ever known Jason Wesley would become. Right now, he is a full-time, full-salaried actor. He does nothing but act. He had a recurring role on Army Wives. Anybody seen that show? I didn't see it, and I might have bad language. I don't know. But he was in Army Wives, and he was in... there's pictures of him on the internet with Halle Berry and some other, I mean, the most famous celebrities in Hollywood, and Jason works with them and knows them. So I told Rome, I said, now, Rome, if you really think you may be an actor, I want you to meet Jason's mama today. And he did. Linda came in, I introduced Rome Jr. and Jason's mother. And I said, now, Linda, next time your boy Jason comes to Florence, make sure he and Rome meet, because the power of a secure connection in the body, that's when God does his best work in any of us, when we're properly connected. And God has divine connections for each of us. No single one of us should be an island and stay detached from other people, from everybody else. We've got to find a place of connection. That's when we really grow up and God maximizes his use for us. I would have never thought when Marquo Jackson first walked into this church about 15 years ago, walked into my office and sat down for 2 hours and said, Pastor Carl, God's called me to pastor. I know that's what he's going to do with me. But the Lord sent me here. That was my first time to meet him. The Lord sent me and my family here and told us to stay here and grow at this church until he's ready to send us out to pastor. So he said, I'm here to learn. I'm here to serve. I'm here to wait on God to open the door for me to pastor. And I thought that was great, and I was happy about it. About 6 months later, he came back to me, and he said, Pastor Carl, I'm still here. I don't know if you are aware I'm here or not, but I'm here. And with the sweetest spirit, I needed this. Listen, sometimes you say something that blesses me. I needed to hear Marcos. He said, Pastor Carl, I guess what I'm saying is either embrace me or release me. I needed to hear him say that to me. It changed so much. Now, he's across town pastoring a 70-year-old historic church. A lot of history in that church. God's done so many things with it, but God is about to do something by far greater than he ever has at the Mount Sinai Church here in Florence. Marquo Jackson has served as their senior pastor now for 5 years. His life's work. There was a day when he was a boy, nobody could look at Marquo and think God's going to use him in a good way one day. But God looked at him and said, you're Marquell. I see who you are, but I can also see into the future, and I see what you will be one day. A fellow I graduated with, Denny Bates is his name. Many of you know Denny. He and I and Lonnie Curl and a few others graduated the same year at West Florence High School, and Denny was, all I knew about him then was he blew a trumpet. He'd go around school blowing that trumpet all the time. Every time we raised a flag in assembly, he'd blow that trumpet. I mean, he was a great trumpet player. But he went on to pastor and to write several books and, just do amazing things. He still lives right here in Florence. And now in this season of his life, and the reason I'm highlighting him briefly is because he was the subject of an interview in She Magazine. Anybody read She Magazine? I think it was the June issue. A great story, a full-page picture of Denny Bates working at Schofield Hardware here in Florence on aisle 31. Now, even though in previous seasons he's been a book author, a pastor, and all that, God has him now in what he calls the Aisle 31 ministry. And he said, I'm in marketplace ministry. I meet people that come to Aisle 31 looking for what I got on my shelf. Got on my shelf. They didn't need it ever before, probably. But now, today, something on my shelf. I've been sitting there. They need it now today. So he said, they come to me, and I meet friends. I make friends. We pray together. He said, we have prayer on Aisle 31. He said, I'm just grateful to work at a company that's owned by Christians that will allow this to happen in the marketplace. So if you're going to pull a trailer with a lawnmower on it, go to Schofield Hardware, Aisle 31, and make sure you get probably the most important part you will need that day. See Denny Bates, and he'll have prayer for you right there. Now, you don't need a piece of paper in a frame hanging on a wall to confirm that you are ordained and usable by God and valuable to God and to the rest of us. You can go ahead and do it now. You don't need to be voted on, voted in, voted out, promoted. Go ahead now. There are so many things we can do for the Lord that we don't even need to wait to feel led to do. Do you think you might be able to encourage anybody? Chances are, before you go to bed tonight, you'll have an opportunity to encourage somebody. You don't need to wait and feel led. Get the lead out. If it's in the book, if God tells us to do it, then if you get a chance to do it, He can use you. Go ahead and do it. I remember just a few weeks ago, one of the great examples of this principle is Miss Vera Hadfield. One of our members was suffering and getting ready to go home to be with the Lord. In fact, she was at the hospice house, and Sherry Rotar, her daughter, I don't know if Sherry's here this morning or not. Sherry, holler or wave. We're going to have to find out. Where did Linda and Sherry go today? They might be in Nicaragua. They might have just taken the next flight. But Sherry's mom was about to pass away, and I visited, and they said to me, oh, Carl, Marilyn Dorsey has been an angel to us during this time. She has cooked for us. She has cleaned our house. She has come to see us every day. Anything we've needed, she has been there for us. And when I heard that, my first thought was, how beautiful the body of Christ is, because God sees value in everybody, and God leads us and uses us if we will surrender to His purpose for our life. Marilyn Dorsey, are you here? Stand up, Marilyn. Everybody needs to look at you for just a minute and say thank you for being here. Now, here's what Marilyn told me and Pastor Steve. Because next time we saw her, Marilyn, thank you for being a blessing to Sherry and Vera and to that family. They told me what a great blessing you are. And rather than, you know, want any credit or anything, she simply said, it's my assignment. And I thought, for any believer to know what their assignment is on any day, during any time frame, any season of the... Let me ask you, do you know what your assignment is? Do you feel like you're on a shelf and there's some value in you, but nobody's ever even cracked you and opened you and read you, and you're just sitting on a shelf full of value that seems like nobody sees in you? Oh, no, today is the day when the bookshelf gets empty. I remember, and I could call so many, I could call all of you. But Jessica Bruton. Jessica, stand up, honey. I'm sorry. Go ahead and just stand up. Jessica Bruton. Yeah, we love you and thank God for the gift of God in you. But, you know, without any fanfare, I mean, I know this factually. The Lord uses her to encourage prophetically. And the many people that she has called are written a note of encouragement, and it's like hearing from God in a fresh way. So so liberating and life-changing. I mean, just what a valuable member of the body. But there would be so much less value if she were not placed and connected and offering the gift of God in her life to be a special blessing to the whole body. So what a blessing. And then I will mention a couple that I won't ask to stand because they're not here. But they're members of this church and valuable to us. The reason they're not here is physically they can't be here. But one is Catherine Young. Now, she is a member of our church. She used to come all the time, but now she's over 85 and doesn't drive and has some physical limitations, but she's still connected. She'll still call us. She'll still let us know she's praying for us. We check in with her. And sometimes God will use one member, and He does this in your life too, not just me, I'm sure, but He'll use one member to say something to encourage and to be a blessing to another member. And that's what God has done with so many of you. But on one particular day, a couple of months ago, Miss Catherine Young's son called me from Charleston and said, "Carl, I just want you to be aware, my mother had been in the hospital." And I said, "Well, I did not know. Thank you for letting me know. I'll check on her." So I immediately called Miss Catherine. And she was at the hospital. And I said, "Miss Catherine, let me ask, what are the doctors saying that you may be facing in the immediate future?" And here's what Miss Catherine said to me, 85 years old. Here's what she said to me. "Well, my plan is God is going to heal me." When I heard her say that, I wrote it down. Here's an 85-year-old woman in the hospital, and I'm calling to encourage her. And I ask her what's going on with her. "My plan is God is going to heal me." My Lord, that blessed me that day to hear that faith coming from that precious member of our church. And then lastly, Marie Johnson. And all of us know Marie. She's also mid-80s and not here today in body, but her spirit is here. We hear from her 3 times a week. What a blessing. Oh, honey, she is securely connected. She's not just dangling like a toenail, hangnail. No, she is fastened tightly, knit together with us as the body. She walked into my office one day a few years ago, and she's full of faith always. You can't even try to encourage her because she's going to overdo it. She's going to double pay you back as soon as you try to encourage her because she's that good as an encourager. She walked into my office, I'm sitting behind my desk and going, she was preaching to me a little bit. Well, I enjoyed every minute of it. Not long, but she came in and splashed her faith all over the place. And somehow praying for financial blessing came up in her conversation. And she said, "If you ever need $5 million, Carl, if you ever need $5 million, ask God for it. He can do it." And she said, now here's the part that blessed me. Then she got off to preaching, She said, "$5 million ain't nothing to God. $5 million is nothing to God. You might as well ask Him for $1. And when she said that, I'm thinking, $5 million, right? But then when she said, "You might as well ask Him for $1. Boy, what faith she released in my office that day. I'll never forget her saying that to me. Let me tell you, at the table of the Lord, everything we need is spread before us. And you will never have a need God will not meet. Look at this table. You need forgiveness of your sin. You need deliverance from shame. You need a new beginning, a fresh start. You need a full surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. You need physical healing for your body. You need deliverance and rescue in any area. This table represents Jesus has paid the price for all of that, and you will never have a need God will not meet. If you ever think you had a need that God did not meet, you didn't really need it. And God knew it. Ushers, if you will, come forward.